Blessings to all in the name of Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor John Montalban, and I'm here to share with you a vision that we had on November 5th of 2020 while we were interceding, a group of five people, for the President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, the White House, and also the nation of the United States of America. So before I share this vision, I would like to go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 17 through 18. And it says this: "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." You may say that the prophecy is already too late, but I tell you something. No man has the power nor the authority to be able to stop the prophecy, because God, and only God, has the sole power to be able to fulfill such prophecy in its own timing and its own season. Because of that, I want you to pay attention, as the scripture says in the book of Psalms, that Israel knew God's acts. Israel knew God's works, but only Moses knew God's ways. So we have to understand God's character, the way that he operates, the way that he performs. And that's the reason why I also would like to quote what it stated in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 3. "For the vision, it is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. And again I say, wait for it." And that's the reason why I would like to read this chapter in particular. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." As it's stated in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31. "But for those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So in the book of John, chapter 7, verse 6, it states by Jesus himself, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready." So let's just sit back and pray and intercede for God's purpose and will to be fulfilled, especially in these perilous times. So let's go straight to the vision. We were five people interceding for the President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, the White House, and the United States of America. And the Lord allow us to see behind the veil in terms of everything that was taking place behind the curtains. So let's go straight to the vision. So this is exactly what happened. As the pastor of the church, I felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to start interceding with a group of people, which were elders of the church, on the 5th of November, around about 12:30 in the morning. So at that moment, while we were interceding, one of the leaders, one of the servants, she started to see things that were unraveling before our eyes, not only in the time of the election, but also within the next couple of weeks and months to come. So this is exactly how vivid this vision was and its description. So I'm going to take this moment to read exactly what she wrote according to everything that was shown to her, again, while we were interceding and praying for our nation and the President of the United States of America. "Blessings, Pastor. Here's the vision that came onto me when we gathered to intercede for our President, Donald J. Trump, on November 5th of 2020, around 12:30 in the morning. First of all the glory be to God. As you began to pray, I could see how the prayers will reach the heavens in a form of a pleasant fragrance. At the same time, those same prayers turned into fire and chains were released from the heavens to bind the enemy and its army. I witnessed as the Lord removed the hearts of stone and exchanged them for a heart of flesh. All over the world, the same people that hated the President, Donald J. Trump, began to intercede on their knees for his reelection and also for his life. Then I saw Trump in the battlefield. It was dark and he was weak and alone, but also he was dressed in military attire. He was unable to get up off of the ground when suddenly the angel of the Lord came to aid the President. The angel of the Lord gave him to drink rivers of living waters from heaven on a golden cup. That cup had the letter Y engraved into it, and the letter was burning in fire." Hallelujah. "When Trump drank strength out of these waters. He immediately was given a supernatural strength. I was able to see the living creatures, the angels, archangels, the cherubims, the seraphims, as they descended to help him fight. Then the Lord gave Trump a horse of fire. Trump mounted that horse. As Trump rode the horse with a tremendous speed, he too was caught up in fire. And in his right hand, he held a weapon like I have never seen before. It was a sword with a double portion of authority. Glory to God. She paused. The Lord then spoke to me clearly, saying, "Have peace, because I, your God, has given you the victory." I continue. The Lord then took me up and shown me how there were three states that were participating in such corruption. He did not specify which states they were. But then the Lord's finger pointed out onto hell, and I could see how the jail cells opened all of a sudden, and strongholds that were assigned to such specific states were casted into these cells, and the doors were closed by the power and the authority of the finger of Yeshua. In a given moment, the Lord showed me how the Democratic Party were rejoicing and laughing by celebrating Biden as the declared victor. So all of a sudden, while she was looking at this vision, while there were other people that were interceding at the same time, the Lord showed her that Biden was declared already the victor. So we saw that this already took place on January 6th of 2021. And not only that, also on 2021, on January 20th, he was sworn at the White House. But she saw clearly that Biden was declared the victor. So this is not the end of the vision. This is where the best is yet to come. Let me continue. In a given moment, the Lord showed me how the Democratic Party were rejoicing and laughing by celebrating Biden as the declared victor. The Lord continues to show me how there were many fake ballots that they were planted to declare Biden as the new president. And he showed me how all the lies were being brought out into the light of his truth. Then the Lord transported me into Israel, and I was able to see a particular man. This man had glasses. He was tall in stature, skinny, with a prayer shawl and a kippah, interceding for President Trump. He was in a temple, standing alone with his hands held together and his eyes closed. The Lord showed me how this man had favor in the eyes of the Lord, as Noah had favor, and how he was able to touch the heart of the master. I could also see how there was a group in Israel that they were clothed in sackcloth, sleeping in teepees and fasting 3 days straight. The Lord continued to show me how Israel sounded the shofar in a form of victory from the heavens where I was standing. At the same time, I was able to see how heaven and earth became one as the trumpet started to blast. I could hear an eagle crying out 3 times from heaven. I looked towards the eagle and I saw it besides the Lion of Judah while he was roaring. This is powerful. The emblem of the United States, it's the eagle. And we actually had a visitation in the church of an eagle that was in fire. Not only the eagle was in fire, but also to one of the elders of the church, the eagle stood in its arm. And all of a sudden, the Lord extended a cup full of wine to the eagle. And the eagle went into the cup and drank out of the wine. And not only he drank out of the wine, but she poured herself into the cup where it was full with wine 3 times. This is amazing. The eagle was crying out 3 times in the heavens. And then all of a sudden, right next to the eagle was the Lion of Judah. It was the Lion of Judah roaring in the defense of the eagle, which is the United States of America. At the same time, it began to rain the blood of the Lamb. The blood was cleansing the land, and all that was dead received life. There were vipers and serpents that were assigned in these specific places within the land, but then they started to die immediately. Then I saw how the Lord put his scepter Look at this. He put his scepter in favor of the president, Donald J. Trump. And when he placed his scepter above him, golden glitter came out of the scepter. We understand that the scepter of the Lord, what it means and it represents, it's justice. That's the foundation of God's throne. So when he extended the scepter to the president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, what he was telling him, I am the one who is going to extend not only justice towards you, but I will bring also justice to those who have mocked you and those who have gone against you. Then the Lord crowned Trump with a crown that was bigger than his own head. And all of a sudden, his garments were changed, and then God honored him. In the vision, Trump was smiling and his heart was rejoicing. Glory to God. And as the shofar sounded, the Lord placed a song for me to sing in Hebrew. This is awesome. So that's the reason why I understand by the power of the Holy Spirit that the best is yet to come. Folks, God is still in the works and he always saves the best for last. So I believe with all of my heart that God has not given up with the United States of America. But I do believe that it is time for the church to stand up, to arise, and to fight the good fight of faith. The spirit of Elijah that is going to challenge the prophets of Baal, declaring that the God that responds by fire, it's the God of the land. So church, it is time to stand up. It is time not to hide. It is time to go not on defense, but offense. It is time to get out of the cave, and it's time to stand for our country, to stand for your rights, to stand for the kingdom of God, to stand for the name of Jesus Christ, to stand with grace, with power, with the anointing of the living God, with the authority that God has given unto the church. It is time to stand. It is not time to retreat. It is time to go with full force, believing that God has anointed you for this specific time and season to press forward and to fight the good fight of faith. May God bless you. God bless our president, Donald J. Trump, and may God bless the United States of America. God bless you. Shalom.
You just watch and see how God pulls this whole thing off. He looks at Donald Trump as still the president of the United States. Bob Jones's wife has a video out where God showed her that President Trump will be in office for 8 years. So I'm not telling you what to do or what not to do, but God has told me so many things in the last couple of days that President Trump is being come against like never, you know, never before. And we need to be praying for him and keep him covered. It doesn't matter, you know, you just need to do what God's telling you to do. I'll just put it that way. Well, Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. We thank you, Father, that you are in total and complete control. And Father God, you told me that these things had to happen so you clean out the swamp. And Father God, the same relates to the church. We want you to continue to clean the swamp out in the church. We want you to continue to bring us up higher out of the beggarly elements of this world. And Father God, we trust you, we obey you, and we follow your commands. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your angelic host that's working on our behalf, even at this given time. And Father God, I want you to put a special blessing upon those who got up and came out to your house to sit in your presence and to be fed fresh manna from heaven, from your table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just have to say this. You know, it's nothing about the president. Men in sagging pants. I can't stand that. And so I was praying to God about it today, and he said, the women think they have to go around showing their cleavage, whatever you call it, their crack, you know, whatever this is up here. And so the men are retaliating, and they're letting you see their crack. Well, men, I don't care to see that. It's disgusting. I don't care if it's your flesh or your underwear. Yeah, I don't care about either one. You know, next thing I know, you'll have smiling faces on your underwear, as you bend over, let me see your underwear. Amen. That's just a thing that I don't think is godly. I think you need to, and I ran across a video that says, oh, you can think what you want to. I'm the pastor, so I can tell you what I think, all right? I ran across a cartoon where this guy was had his pants clear down to his, just about to his knees, and he was looking at a belt rack. And he said, it said a miracle's about ready to take place. And I hope you guys who think you have to wear your pants down to your knees get the miracle and put a belt on. If you can't afford one, I'll buy you one. All right, now that's my druthers tonight. Anyhow, God's been talking about love. And, you know, Bob Jones, he was one of the most accurate prophets there was alive, and he died. And before he died, though, for the final time, he died and went to heaven. And God said the first thing he's going to ask everybody that stands before him on Judgment Day is, did you learn to love? And if you didn't learn to love, he was going to immediately turn you away. There's really no excuse why we can't learn to love. We know that the enemy fights us at every turn when we're trying to learn to love. And God's word says he's made a way of temptation. You know, there's nothing that the enemy can tempt us with. God hasn't already made a way of escape. And I know it's hard sometimes to, when you're trying to love for years and years and years, and all you see is, you know, somebody coming against you, and all you see is hate, hate, hate. Sometimes it's really hard to hold on to love. It really is. Tonight, God's talking about love. And, my story about how, you know, when I got born again, God showed me my heart with a wall around it. And he said he couldn't use me unless I let him break that wall down. And so he said, yeah, I cannot use you with that wall there. So he said, let me break the wall down. And so I did. And so some of you in here tonight, you have a wall built around your heart. Doesn't matter how much you love God, he can't use you until you let him break that wall down. So I'm just asking each one of you, you know who you are that has the wall built. And I even told you my other story where just not too long ago, a couple years ago, maybe five, God showed me again, and I had two layers of the bricks built again. He said, you're starting to build the wall. I need to tear it down. You know, really, a heart can only stand so much pain. It can only stand so much pain. And then what it does is starts shutting down. You know, you start saying, you know, all right, I trusted you, and the pain's starting over again. And then you start building that wall again. But if you're going to be used by God, your heart has to be open out there in the open to be hurt over and over and over again. I know I've been there. I've been walking that walk. But I'm really asking you tonight to really let God tear the wall down so that you can walk free and that God can use you. Do you know that you who have the wall built up there, you are going to run across a whole lot of people that have the same wall? And if you let God tear your wall down, then you're going to be able to give your testimony, and you're going to be able to help them tear their wall down. But somebody has to start. Somebody has to be the one to say, okay, God, uncover my heart, tear the wall down, because I want you to use me for your glory. The minute you say that, the enemy's going to come. And he's going to stand there and say, oh, so you think you're all that and then some, and you think you're going to bare your heart. Then he's going to send in every kind of hurt that he can find in hell your way so you keep that wall built. Don't do that. So John 14:21-24, that scripture is an intimate relationship with Jesus. And it says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, so you have to have his commandments and you have to keep them. He it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You got that? Then 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. What is it that Satan is destroying in the earth right now? Love. And he is really fertilizing hate like mad. And he's bringing hate forth in its overriding love. Now Matthew 22:36 says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Every part of you, right? This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. You have to love your neighbor. You have to love those around about you. Now, how many of you, be honest with yourself, you really struggle with love at times? And you know you can't do that. You know you have to love. And how many of you go to God and say, God, I really do love you with all of my heart, and I'm really having a struggle right now. And God will speak back and say, I know how much you love me. I'm going to strengthen you right now. And you'll be able to go forth, and you'll be able to love once again. But see, if you don't take that step, the devil's just going to keep taking you down and down and down until the love walk's totally destroyed. How many of you, you just say to yourself, how many of you, you know you've given your heart to God, really given your heart to God. You're walking with him with every fiber of your being. And sometimes you say, God, I can't love anymore. And God will say, my word says, do not grow weary in well-doing. And then he makes you strength. He said, I'll strengthen you. Now get up and start walking in love again. You know, if you're honest, that happens to you quite often in your walk with God. Because the thing that the enemy is after is your love walk. If he can get your love walk, then he has you 100%. And he knows you're no threat to him. All right? Mark 12:31-33 tells us love is more important than ritual. Jesus said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And every time I hear somebody say that they're in fear, then your love walk's not right. And what you need to do to get out of fear is go back and perfect your love walk. Isn't that what it just told us here? We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is why when you look at married couples and they're all amiss, or even couples, you know, they're fighting all the time. You don't know what love's all about. You know what selfishness is all about. You know what lust is all about. But you don't really know love. Because really and truly, if you look around the world does not know what love is, does it? I mean, the world has become so perverted, it's just lust and selfishness, no love. And God has been trying for quite some time to get this church to get into the love walk and stay there, and he has not attained that yet. Because this church does not get into the love walk and stay there. If it did, we wouldn't be having all the problems we're having. Are you listening? The greatest destiny of a man is the destiny of a lover. I read that and I thought that was pretty neat. The greatest destiny of a man is the destiny of a lover. Question, when you ask to receive God's heart, do you think he will automatically give it to you, or will he offer situations to display it? When you ask to receive God's heart, I know everybody, God, let me see your heart. Give me your heart, God, all right? Now, do you think he will automatically give it to you, or will he offer situations to display it? Number one. It's in our everyday circumstances that we will receive God's heart as we display it toward others that he puts in our path. And the other day I said, I've just lost my salvation. God has given me an assignment, and I just failed it because I could not love at that moment. Haven't you been there? So what did I say? It's in our everyday circumstances that we will receive God's heart. As we display it towards others, he puts in our paths. Number two, every day is an opportunity to walk with the heart of God, which God has given freely to us to give to others. Number three, every day God gives us opportunities for love. And number four, it's not just about giving, it's also about receiving the love God wants to bring into our lives. Number five, even when we miss the open doors of opportunity for love, God will always give us many more opportunities to give and receive the love he so desires to give. God desires for each one of us to give nothing but love. And I listen to so many people, they get so judgmental. And there's no love in their voices. There's no love in anything they say or do. You have not yet perfected your love walk. And you need to do this. Number six, his love being poured out is his top priority. Number seven, God's love being poured out through those he loves is our greatest destiny. Those who talk the love message will be given many opportunities. And boy, I tell you what, I've been having given many opportunities lately. Those who talk the love message will be given many opportunities to walk the love message in our own lives. This is a time that our lives will match our message. And I got an F on that this week. The more I study about love and get it together, the more the enemy fights my love walk. And the more he puts circumstances before me, that I just have to grit my teeth and just stomp my feet. You're the same way, right? If you're saying that you don't ever, or your love isn't ever challenged, then you're not in a deep love walk either. All right, this is the time God is going to absolutely ruin us by his love. When God gives us opportunity to display his love, we will always see that he is merciful, full of grace, and his long-suffering has no end. No matter what the circumstances are, his compassion will always be poured out in demonstrations of love. I hope that each one of you sitting in here tonight or even watching, your love walk has been challenged like never before this week. Because the only way that God can use us to win the lost is if our love walk is perfected. And the reason why we're being challenged is to see how perfected our love walk really and truly is. And if you're like me, whenever you get out of your love walk, God will sit down and talk to you. He says, let's talk about something. What did I tell you about this assignment? What did I tell you I was going to place before you? He'll remind you of what your assignment's all about. And then when he does that, you have to repent. And then you have to get back on that love walk and get off of your high horse. Get off of your pride. And you have to submit yourself to God in his love walk. And you have to go on. Or you're not going to win any souls. And that's the truth. All right, demonstrations of love. We always hear give a love offering, right? But the greatest love offering you can give is yourself. The greatest love offering you can give. I'm sorry, guys, you're too selfish and self-centered. You want everything to go your way. And you don't want anybody to challenge you. You want to be in control, and it doesn't work like that. If you're really a love vessel of God, you're just going to have to grit your teeth sometime and say, God, I know you're in control. Give me strength. Give me wisdom. And yes, you will be, all right, I said, but the greatest love offering you can give is yourself. And yes, you will be that great love offering. The Holy Spirit in us is faithful to give those gentle promptings and nudges when he is leading us to a divine encounter with someone. You see that? You know, if you're getting ready to talk to somebody, all of a sudden you'll just feel different. You know, if God is going to use you as a love vessel, you'll feel different. Your emotions will get all funny, and you really don't understand what's going on. But what it is God, He has entered into you in a different way because he wants to be the one to work through you to win that lost soul to Christ. He wants to use you to pour love into that person, because everyone you meet that is not serving God is starved to death for love. And they want you to treat them the way God would treat them. And you know, somebody will, they'll do things for you that they wish you would do to them, because they're starving for that love and for that attention. And the church is not there. The church is not giving. And you, with relationships, I don't care if you're married or just going together, living together, whatever, you know, okay, so you hurt me, so I don't want any part of you. That means you aren't really walking in love, because you're supposed to not see that person with your eyes. You're supposed to see that person as God sees them, in their heart. And you're supposed to see where they're coming from and how they're hurting. Are you understanding this? And if you really seek God's face, and I do this all the time with different people I encounter, because I don't understand where they're coming from. And yeah, you know, and I'm told one thing, but I'm seeing something else. And so if I don't ask God, God, let me see them through your eyes, I'm going to stay in a state of confusion, and I won't know how to minister to those people. Right? So we always have to see the person through God's eyes and not through your own eyes or your own emotions. You need to start throwing your emotions to the wayside when you're dealing with somebody and just see how God feels towards that person. A lot of you sitting in here tonight or even watching, you don't do that. And that's why you see so many separations, either divorces or just separations, because you're only thinking about your own feelings and what that person's doing to you. You're not thinking about how bad that person's hurting, and that's why they're doing what they're doing to you. And they're really crying out for help, and you're not hearing because you yourself need help and you yourself need love. And so it just becomes a big, big ball of mess, doesn't it? And somewhere along the line, somebody has to stop and say, okay, God, I'll be hurt, just like Jesus did. I'll take the beating. I'll go to the cross to set my people free. I'll do whatever it takes, Lord, to set this person free, and so they can know your love and your grace and your goodness. We're going to run across an awful lot of people that are hurting really super deep. You know, they got hurt as a young child. And if we don't get out of our own selfish state, we'll never set them free. They'll never know the love of Christ. This is where God has taken us to, because he's getting ready to use us, guys. And we have to get this love walk corrected. We're a man. Okay. The last service, God increased his agape love. Remember, we came up the altar and God poured his love into us. You will no longer be able to walk by someone and ignore the promptings of God, because it's going to just pour out of as you pass. In other words, the love, God's love that he poured into you, you're going to feel different. You just won't be able to walk by somebody and ignore them. God will start nudging you that they need some of that love that he poured into you. And God always told me, he said, daughter, you pour out the love and I'll increase the love back into you. And you and I know what my calling is, and I know I'll be hurt a lot, so that doesn't bother me. But I have to make sure that I don't allow the enemy to come and steal what God's trying to do. And he does that. The enemy will make me short-sighted, and I won't see the full picture, you know, and then I won't want to help. I know, because I walk that. But I also know that it's not right what's going on, and so I have to go before God and say, God, I need to see what's going on here. Where did I miss it? I need to see the whole picture. All right? Acts chapter 5 tells us of Peter's shadow healing the sick as he passed by. Without a shadow of a doubt, the presence of love walked with Peter and healed people as he passed by. The virtue of God's love permeating out of Peter was a demonstration of the power of God's love. Now I want to stop there and use myself as another example. You know, when the anointing, for all those years of God's anointing was just flowing, and I'd walk by people and things that, you know, they would think different things would happen. It was because of love of God. People were healed and people, just different things, miracles happened. It was because the love of God was, I was walking into total love walk. I mean, total love walk, and God was able to work through me. Now that doesn't happen. So I'm asking God, is there something wrong with my love walk? Because if it used to happen, why isn't it happening now? And I'm not afraid to go before God and say, God, is there something wrong with me now? Have I missed you in some way? And God, I'll tell you, God has told me, no, there's nothing wrong. That just right now there's different things going on in the atmosphere, but and that's why it's not happening. But I really get upset whenever I don't see what I believe or I know that God can do, and when it's not happening, I get upset because I want to make sure that I'm right with God. And it might not be anything at all wrong with you. It's just what's going on in the atmosphere around that person or even in, you know, in the church today. So don't blow yourself away is what I'm saying. Go before God and ask him. He will, and God knows me. I want honesty. I don't like a liar. I like honesty, and God knows he can speak to me honestly. And it's not going to blow me out of the water, you see? Because if you can't stand God to be honest with you, then you can't help anybody else either. All right, Romans 8, 5 through 8 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. All right, let's just go here. How many of you have had loved ones passed away? And when you sit and think about your walk with that person, you admit to yourself, I missed God quite a few times. And I didn't walk in love the way I should have walked. I didn't understand. And so I didn't do what I should have done to its fullness. I do that many times with Pastor Larry. I really do. Because there was different times that I really missed God and I didn't react the way I should have reacted. And I've apologized to him. Of course, he's in heaven. He doesn't want me to apologize to him. But yet, you know, we do miss it. And we have to admit that we missed it. We have to admit that we're human. It doesn't make me feel any better knowing I miss it. It really doesn't, because I wish I could go back and do it differently. But when it's done, guys. You can't go back and redo it. It's done. So why don't we just do it right the first time, right now, and love the way God wants us to love. Quit putting your feelings out there on your heart out there on your sleeve, and just be a child of God. If you get hurt, then you get hurt. You'll get over it. Believe me, you will. But you have a better place with God if you submit yourself to be hurt over and over and over again. I'm having a hard time right now with a few things, and God says, he keeps whispering, don't grow weary in well doing. I'm about ready to erase that out of my mind. But see, God is warning me, come on, daughter, you've got to keep going. The enemy's trying to take you down with this. Keep walking on, and don't grow weary in well doing. It's like that song, you know, you stand, he sang the other night, you stand up on the stage and encourage your people, but when it hits home, then it's a whole different story. It's hard to encourage yourself in the Lord. It's hard not to grow weary. Nothing, walking with God, nothing is easy. Everything is hard until you get that thing perfected. And right now, how many of you thought you had it perfected? But now you found out, hey, I didn't have that perfected at all. Because as the times gets harder, you're fought harder. And then you really realize what kind of a soldier really you really are. So there's no condemnation in that. It's just that, hey, God's letting you see you're not all that and then some. You still have to get stronger because the battle's going to get stronger. Where am I at? The love of God. Yeah, the love of God has already been poured out within our hearts because the Holy Spirit himself dwells within, right? When Christ died for us, it was the highest demonstration of God's love toward us so that we could also be the utmost demonstration of love to all men, godly or not. You know, God gave his only begotten Son to die for you and I. That was the utmost love. That was the highest love he could give us, was his Son. And we walk all over his blood and we treat him bad. You know, where are you at in your walk with God? You know, we have to ask ourselves, we have to sit down and talk to ourselves and ask ourselves, where am I really at? And sometimes you find out that you've been disillusioned for quite a few years. And you know, and say, wow, God, I thought I had that all together, and I don't. If you're honest, you'll say that. All right, love comes with no conditions and no guarantee it will be reciprocated. Oh, is that ever a lie in most people today? Love comes with no conditions and no guarantee it will be reciprocated. I told one of my boys today, I said, I really do love you. And he said, why? I said, just because you're you. And he said, did I do something good right now? And I said, no, honey, I just want you to know I love you. I tell them that all the time. But, you know, they need to, that love needs to be reinforced in them because they fight bigger battles than we do, kids do. And they have to know that they're loved. They don't need to know that they're rejected. Are you listening here? I think that's the trouble with most kids. They weren't told enough that they were loved. Or they were told they were loved just to get them out of the parents' hair. All right, love is the most vulnerable place. Did my microphone go off or is it just my ear? Am I right? Love is the most vulnerable place we can walk because you cannot control nor contain it. Right? Love is the most vulnerable place we can walk because you cannot control nor contain it. And that's what God told me, daughter, you have to be vulnerable to be hurt. He said, my son was hurt all the time, but he had to keep walking. God could not control nor contain his love when he gave us the most vulnerable place of his heart, which was Jesus. Now, happy people inspire love. Isn't that true? In my house recently, when I come downstairs, everybody goes upstairs because I'm grumpy right now because I'm trying to get people to live the way they should be living, and I get grumpy. Then I have to go upstairs and say to God, please take this out of me. You know, but anyhow, the thing I'm trying to say, happy people inspire love. Love inspires people. Love is what drives us to pursue our passions. I tried to instill that in my two boys. If they're really passionate about something, I said, pursue it, go for it. If you make it, fine. If you find out you don't want it, well, then drop it. But go for it. Just don't sit around and do nothing. All right, when you function out of a heart filled with love, you are at the peak of who you were created to be. Did you hear that, guys? When you function out of a heart filled with love, you are at the peak of who you were created to be. Your performance will be at its best, and everyone around you will take notice. In my house, they'll say, what mood's mom I'm in today? And that makes me feel bad. But, you know, somebody has to take control and keep the house in order. And right now, my house is not in order. And I don't like what I do. I really don't, because that's not me. But it's something I have to do. I'm done with this. Oh, well, don't say anything about it. It'll go away. No, the mountain just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger till you have a mountain so big you can't move it. See, and I was one, oh, well, I just won't say anything and it'll go away. Well, after about 50 years, I found out it did not go away, right? So there's just some things you're going to have to confront and get it over with. All right, so I said, for example, have you ever watched a musician play an instrument like, we're talking about happy people, like the piano or guitar, and see them completely lost in the performance? I always like watching Chris Tomlin's drummer. He gets so lost in his drumming, and the same with Town and Country when they play the drummer boy. I just love that because they get so lost in that. When I watch Phil Wickham sing "This Is Amazing Grace," he gets lost in his singing because he's so caught up in the spirit, and it draws me into the spirit just watching him do that. Another was Kim Clement when he played the piano. When he started playing that piano, he'd just go right into the spirit and just start prophesying. It was just awesome to watch him. All right, Joel 2:28-29 is called the promise of the spirit. And it's that the Joel 2:28-29 says, "It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." This is what God is trying to do in this era. He wants to pour out his spirit of love in such a manner that we will never, ever lose our love walk ever again. We are truly living in the days of the many promises of God being poured out through passionate performers. I believe as God pours out his love in the places we are positioned, we truly will bring happiness to those surrounding us, infecting others to spread and be inspired by the love of God. People really do want to see happy people. They really do. They don't want to see a grumpy old lady. All right? They want to see a happy old lady. So what kind of person are you? But then, too, you have to take into the whole context that the people make you who you are. They want to see you happy, then they need to be doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? That's true. I used to be one, well, you'd see me happy all the time just because I don't like confrontation, but that's come to an end because we're living in a different age, a different time. I'm trying to figure out where I was at here. Who doesn't like hanging around happy people? Think about it. Everyone loves being around people who are happy and full of kindness. Happy people are like a magnet pulling us toward their positive electromagnetic field. Happy people inspire love. In a moment, they can lift up your spirit, right? But then there's me. Sometimes I think that person's too happy all the time. And then as I watch them, I find out they put on that happy face because they don't want you to see really what's boiling underneath. But I'm not saying go around and check the happy face out. I'm just saying some people you think is happy all the time are not happy all the time. And so you have to know the difference. And then yet start praying, God, show me how I can help that person be truly happy and just not out on the surface. All right, have you ever been instantly affected by a complete stranger walking by you as they smile and simply say hi? Sometimes you think, what's up their sleeve? That's because you're negative, right? Well, I quit getting excited about that whenever everybody started talking on their cell phones in the grocery store because, you know, I was walking through the grocery store, this was years ago, and this person was just so happy, and I said, oh, well, thank you. And here she was talking to somebody on her cell phone. I thought she was talking to me, and I was embarrassed. But it lifted me up. All right. Have you ever been instantly affected by a complete stranger walking by you as a smile and simply say hi? It gives us an instant lift. A smile, a hug, a kind look, or kind word can make someone's day. All right. I have Daryl, really. He's staying with me right now. He does lift my day. He'll say, Mom, how are you today? I don't know what he called you. How are you today? Is there anything I can do for you? And you know, I think that really makes me feel good. At least somebody acknowledges that I exist, you know, and I might need help. It really does. It lifts me up, you know. I don't know why he does it. It might be for some other reason, but at least I don't care at that point. I just need to lift it up. All right. The greatest love will not just be in the greatness of the glory being poured out. I know God wants his love being poured out upon people right now. You know, instead of waiting to the girl, and I was doing this to God, when your glory falls, they'll be full of your love. But God said, no, I want them to be loving right now. So how many of you are thinking, well, when the glory falls, this person will change, that person will change. We're all going down. We need to quit going down that road. And we just need to ask God to fill them with the love right now. I believe the smallest acts of kindness can be our greatest and most effective daily marketplace ministry. You know, just like I said with Daryl, he has ministry with me right now. You know, when he pulls me up right now, that's his ministry. It's making me feel like somebody cares, somebody knows I exist. Let's talk about walking in this, in walking inside the heart of God. A man said, recently I went into another heart vision and saw people walking inside the heart of God. It was literally a live, breathing, pulsating heart. We were beating as one with him, engrafted in the core of his innermost heart chamber. God's heart is full of infinite crevices, and he is longing for us to discover the many facets of him as we walk inside the innermost chambers and begin pouring them out. Isn't that awesome? He was a great prophet, and he had this vision of being. But I think God talked to us about getting inside of his heart, didn't he? So, see, this is where God wants us to be, inside his heart of love, and then we won't make any mistakes. Because God's heart doesn't make mistakes. How many of you, when you're doubted out, you just feel like you can't love anything? Say, God, pull that love out of your heart. Put it in my heart, because I need that today. See, there's many things we need to do for ourselves, crying out to God, so that we don't fall short in the love walk. How many of you, you're so mad at somebody, you could just spit nickels, but if they walk in the room, you just love them so much, you just want to hug them and talk to, you know, I do that all the time. I say, God, I need to quit this. Quit being upset because you're going to make me love them when they walk by me. Right? Come on. So let's just quit getting upset with anybody. When you walk inside God's heart, you will begin knowing the depths of him. I cried that out recently. I said, God, please let me know the depth of your heart. Let me know what is in your heart. I want to know your whole heart so that I can be part of it. I just don't want to be a person anymore. Do you? I want to be somebody so involved in God and his heart that I'm different than the rest of the world. And if each of one of us cried out like that, we'd have a better church. You know, I mean, not just this church, but church as a whole. As you begin walking with the heart of God, you will be walking as one with him. Your heart will be beating at the same beat as his. You will feel what he feels as he shares the intimate details of his heart. And I wrote that down because that is how it works. You will know when God's crying. You'll know when he's happy. You'll feel every feeling that he has. I feel that, guys. It is, you can attain that if you really desire to have his heart. For example, what brings joy to him will bring joy to you. What brings sorrow to God will bring sorrow to you. What breaks God's heart will also break yours. I walk that out. It really does work that way. Why? And what angers God will anger you. Having God's heart will absolutely ruin you. Ruined by love. The definition of ruin is the downfall or undoing of a person as the wreck of his or her former self. You won't be like you used to be. And I've been crying out, God, let me be who I was. A loving, kind, caring person that didn't get upset. But I really know I can't be that because he's always told me, don't want what you used to be. Be what I want you to be this day, you know. But I really did like my old self. Probably a lot of you liked your old self too, right? When God shares his heart and what moves him, we will be absolutely undone, causing the downfall of our former selves, which seeks its own rights and ways. Love will wreck us. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way because it is not self-seeking. And 1 Corinthians 13 says, verse 4, love is patient and kind. Now just check your own self out, see if this is your love walk. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The love of God is in us can no longer be contained. God himself is requiring the heart of heaven to respond to the earth. When God's love ruins us, it will display extraordinary acts of compassion and giving. We will be moved with the passion and heart of God. We will be ruined by what ruins God's heart, what moves and breaks his heart. We will be walking inside the heart of God, responding with the heartbeat of heaven, moving as he moves on us. The destiny and language of lovers. God is speaking a new language, and it is a language of lovers. Let's quit being haters. Let's quit being backbiters. Let's quit being people who hurt and love to hurt other people. It's not just about hearing his voice. It's about knowing him. See, a lot of the church do not know God. Lovers communicate through heart responses when their hearts become intertwined as one. God spoke the language of love through Jesus, and Jesus reciprocated his love by doing what he only saw his Father doing. As you become one with your lover, you will be communicating through a love language spoken only from the heart. You will be beating at the same heartbeat as your lover and pouring out his heart to others. Only intimate lovers know how to give and receive it. Seeing God told me years ago that the world no longer knows love, all it knows is lust. Jesus reciprocated the greatest love language of the Father when he gave up his life to be with us. The greatest destiny of a man is the destiny of a lover. So, you know, a man means male or female. What do you want people to say about you? All right, now let's put it this way. When you stand before the Father, when he says, have you learned to love, what's going to be your answer? You know, when Christians come against Christians, that's not love. We're supposed to lift each other up, not push each other down, not talk about, backbite, you know, judge. We're supposed to love one another. You know, when I first started, God said to me, don't ever worry about what's going on down the corner. You do the lighthouse and a lighthouse only, because pastors used to come to me and say, what's going on down in this church? What's going on in that church? I said, I don't know. I have enough to keep my nose in this church. I don't, you know, I'm not running that church. And you know, this is the way we do with people's lives, though. We're always trying to run somebody else's life. And we don't even have a good job of running our own. And this is why, you know, I really cry out to God constantly, God, don't let me get up there and be an example of something I'm not. You know, telling you one thing and I'm somebody else or something else. We have to be honest. We have to be sincere. We have to be open. You know, God said we have to be open where people know us inside and out. So where are you at in your love walk is a question here tonight. Are you really a love vessel that God can work through? Come on. If you have fear, you don't know the love of God. And there's so much fear, it should never happen to any of us. We shouldn't have fear because we have the love of God in us, and we know that God's going to take care of us, right? So first of all, one of the first altar call is that I want you to come up here and let God tear down the wall around your heart. Then after he tears the wall down around your heart, then I want him to fill you full of his agape love. Strengthen your love walk so that you can go forth unhindered by the enemy and win the souls for Christ. So the altar's open. And when you come up here, you're saying, God, tear down the wall I have built around my heart so I can be heard again over and over and over again, and fill me with your love that bears all things.